Welcome to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast, presented by 13 Fishing Canada. Make your own luck. We're here to scratch that angling itch and talk everything fishing. Join us as we sit down with special guests from across the industry. Now, here's your hosts, Brandon Cater and Logan Lewis.
What is going on, everyone? Thank you very much for tuning into yet another episode of the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. Today, you're going to be listening to part one of two with Jesse Baker. We're trying to line this one up for a bit here, and we're finally able to sit down, and it was a long one. It ended up being about an hour and 50 minutes, so decided to split this episode into two here, kind of break it up, give you guys a bit of a break. Our last episode with TJ was pretty long as well, and we decided kind of want to keep around that hour and 15 kind of thing. So this here, part one, kind of focuses on how Jesse got into the industry, kind of get to know her a little bit better. A lot of focus on guide talk, stuff like that. Some pretty cool stories and whatnot. So you're definitely going to want to stick around for that. And then part two, which will come out in a couple weeks, kind of deals with some lake trout fishing and then some other questions and whatnot from some of you listeners. So without further ado, we want to say a big thank you to our sponsors, 13 Fishing, presenting sponsor. Just got another order done with them, got some their new rods and stuff like that. So I'll be trying those out. I actually took some of the new stuff onto a trout trip into northern Saskatchewan. So you haven't seen that on the socials yet, be sure to check that out. Managed to land a very nice brown. It was actually my only fish that I landed of the weekend. Lost a couple in the sight hole. But other than that, she's a pretty slow bite, but every fish we did catch was quality. So it was definitely a good trip there. But for sure, check them out. Use our code Weekend Warriors. Save yourself 15% on all the browns on their website. We're kind of getting close to early ice here. Some of us have already made it out a little bit, thankfully. Some of us are still waiting, which I haven't hit any of the big lakes yet. I've heard of some people out there, but the ice conditions just sound pretty sketchy. We actually had one of the listeners, Jeff, there on Instagram. He shared a post with us, and basically it sounds like some places you go on, you're walking, it'll be 6 inches, and the next spot you check, it'd be 2 inches, something like that. So definitely be checking every step and taking all those precautions if you are going out there. But there's also totally nothing wrong with just waiting until that ice gets to that nice, safe, like consistent 6-10 inches, something like that, if you're more comfortable with that. We always say no fish is worth your life, so do what you're comfortable with and take all those safety precautions if you are in some of that skinnier ice. But next up, kind of flows into that as well, want to give a big thank you to the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. They obviously are in charge of the fish hatchery there too, so that was a big part of our trip. There's a couple trout lakes up there in the Narrow Hills area that made for a really good time, and they're doing an awesome job managing those lakes and whatnot with their stock trout. So definitely check them out. Be entering your fish on the Master Angler program. I unfortunately did not get my brown on the bump board. It was about 60K winds that day, so we snapped a couple quick pictures and got it right back in the water there. Didn't want to spend too much time under the water given the winds and the snow that was going around. So unlike I did, be sure to get those pictures if you are able to and can still take care of the fish. Get those Master Angler Awards going. The more we use it, the more they're going to be able to do stuff with the program and make it even better. So check them out. Get your website. Find out what your branch is. Or get your membership. Find out what your branch is. And lots of benefits that come with that, including an awesome magazine as well. I think, lastly, as always, we'll hop into a quick word from Lucky Bastard Distillers, and then we'll roll right into that interview with Jesse Baker.
There are certain moments in life that really stick with you. This is definitely one of them. The thrill of the dill, my friends, is not a myth.
Prohibition is over, Saskatchewan. Ask about LB's legendary Birmingham's Dill Pickle Vodka. After all, it's not a party until someone pulls out the pickle. Tours and tastings available. Call or stop by 814 47th Street East. And tonight, why not mix your Caesar with some Lucky Bastard?
It's the one with the pickle in it.
We have Jesse Baker here. We were going to record a couple weeks ago. You had a full house there, one of them being Doug, former two-time guest with us. So a little bit of connection there. I'm sure we'll get into that connection if people don't already know that. But for everyone listening, I guess kind of introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and anything else you want to include there.
Yeah, so my name is Jesse Baker, and I guess I'm probably mostly known on social media. My parents own a fishing resort in northwestern Ontario, Pipestone Lake, Cedar Island Lodge. So I've been there. They bought it in 2011, and I've probably been there the last 10 years full time. So that's pretty much what I do in the summertime. And then in the wintertime, I own my own social media marketing agency. So, which is all specific to the outdoor industry, since that's my passion, is fishing and being outdoors. And pretty much it.
I know as someone who has something in the industry with the podcast here, that's such a big advantage to have someone with one of those firms that's in the industry themselves too. Like, it's kind of when you try and get just a generic firm or whatever doing that kind of stuff, there it kind of doesn't jive, right? Like, they don't really understand. If anything, they could be the furthest thing from outdoors people for the most part, right? And they don't really understand how things work. So that's definitely something that could be an advantage there. And when did you start that that firm?
So I actually started freelancing in 2018, so 5 years ago. And I was kind of doing that. I was working with agencies that would hire me as a freelancer to do social media management, content creation, website design, all that kind of stuff. And it was a job. And in the off season, like when you work as a seasonal worker, like it's so hard to find a job that's like, hey, I'm only going to work here for 5 months and then I'm going to leave again. So I was doing like a lot of like, I was working with a girl in BC doing a lot of like salons and like banks and financial accounts and stuff like that. And it, just like you said, it was really hard for me to like connect to the posting. Why I went to specifically to outdoor industry is because if you're commenting on people's things and you know nothing about fishing, like it's obvious. Or if you're writing captions and you know nothing about fishing or the outdoor industry, like it's obvious. So like I wanted to be able to actually write about things I knew about, be inspired by it, because obviously hair products and stuff like that is an inspiration of mine. So it just made sense. So I actually launched the company in 2022, which was last year, midway through the summer. And then now I'm full time. I have a full time employee, and I'm looking to hire someone in Canada. So if anyone wants to work in the social media industry, message me on Instagram. But it's been really good, and I have really great clients, and it's just, I get to talk and think about fishing all year round.
And so that's the part I'm lucky enough with for when I do go guiding. I am able to take a month off work and go and guide. So there's something to come back to. But I know, talking to some of my buddies that do it, it's kind of hard to come back and be like, hey, I'm only here for a couple months. And then also for it to be something that you consider worthwhile for your time, and I guess what you're being paid too, right? Because I'm sure you could go pick up a job doing whatever, but you might be like, whether it's not something you enjoy or it's not really something that's worth your time compared to kind of how well you would do in the summer and stuff, right? Like, it'd be pretty hard to do that. And then especially, it's not like all of us are bored sitting around with nothing to do when you're in the off season, right? Like, there's lots of stuff we'd rather be doing. So it's nice to find something that would be worth your time. And I know, like, I got some buddies that kind of find different gigs and stuff, and then it's just living that life in the summer, right? So I think that's one thing to consider. Yeah.
It's a very unique lifestyle. Like, it takes a special person that can be able to like grind that hard for 6 months straight. Obviously anyone that's been in this industry and knows what it's like death for 6 months. But then I think a lot of people, and maybe it's different in Canada and the US. I know it's a little bit like the lifestyle is a little bit different, but I knew a few people like back in the day that would just like guide during the on season and then like collect pogey or unemployment in the off season. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't financially be able to do anything. So I'm like, I gotta work, and I live 1.5 hours from the closest town, so there ain't much for jobs around here.
Unless like you're doing something yourself, right? So that's the biggest thing. Like, it is pretty nuts. It's not like this kind of lifestyle isn't a get rich quick kind of scheme, right? Like, it's a work hard, and I mean, I'm only talking from the standpoint of where I do it a month at a time, like 1 month out of the year, right? Like, that's not even in comparison to people that are like yourself that are doing full seasons, right? Like, it's totally different. But I can understand just from the 1 month how that must feel. Like, it's something you love, right? But it's also it doesn't come without its exhaustion and all those other things, right? So maybe nice to take a couple weeks off once things cool down and the season ends. But yeah, then finding something else to do is the big thing. And fishing isn't cheap. So that's kind of something you need to keep going, right? You need the money coming in.
It is not cheap. And it's getting more expensive every time I like look at something. I'm like, holy shit. But you know, that's why they make credit cards.
Exactly. Yeah. Just put it off, push it back. So
Doug always says this, it's a write-off. Yeah. It's a write-off. I'm like, who's writing all of these freaking baits off, man? Like, simmer down. the write-off guy. I'm like, shit, he ain't writing any of my stuff.
That's
off.
The thing. It's nice that it's a write-off, but you can only write off things so far before you wouldn't have tax to pay anyways because you spent all your money.
Yeah, because you're at $0.
Exactly. So I guess with that, kind of mentioned how you got into the social scenes there, but how did you yourself start to get into fishing and everything like that?
Yeah, so I grew up in a really small town. If people on here know about it, I'd be surprised, but it's called Emo. It's just outside of Fort Frances, about 2 hours from Kenora, 4 hours from Winnipeg. And I grew up on the lake. So my parents always had a cabin and every weekend we went there. I grew up with two older brothers and my dad. So we always went fishing and, that was just like what we did. And then I became a teenager, thought that was lame. So kind of like lost touch with that. And then when I got into college, I really got into fishing again. And then my parents just randomly, the year I graduated high school, were like, hey, we bought a resort. And like my siblings and I were like, what? Because like my dad worked at his family hardware store and my mom owned her own business making signs. And then they were like, yeah, we're like running a resort now. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. So I actually went to school to be, I got my master's degree in psychology and I worked as a youth counselor. And so the first year that I worked as a youth counselor, I went to Cedar Island in the summer and then took like a leave of absence and then just worked casual and then just realized like I couldn't do that. So I've been fishing since I was a kid, but I would say that like I loved it when I was a kid, but I just really learned like immersed myself in it when my parents bought the resort. And it's just like, I can't even imagine. I've just made so many connections with people and like brands and like places that you can go that it's just, I'm very grateful to be able to do what I do.
And I was going to ask that, like, was that something that your parents kind of were leaning towards and finally took the leap, but it sounds like it was just kind of like time for a change of pace. Boom, we're buying this.
Yeah. And my parents both worked full-time jobs, like both ran their businesses outside of the resort. Like in the off season, my dad would go back to the hardware store and my mom did decals all the whole time. And like I didn't actually work there the first two seasons because it was really slow. Like we had to, the camp had actually sit for 6 years. So there was like a lot of like upkeep and work to do. And then the fact that it had sat for 6 years, we had no clientele, like no one had gone there for 6 years. So as people started coming to the lake, there was one other resort on there. They seen that we were open. We got a little more customers, started doing sport shows and stuff like that. So like around like year, like 3 or 4, my parents actually had a business. And so that's when they still worked full-time jobs, but then eventually left. And that was May till like October that we would be up there.
Yeah. I guess that's the thing with.
And like back then there was no like Wi-Fi. So like I'd like leave and then I'd go from college, like hanging out with all my friends, partying, doing all this stuff. And then like disappear for 6 months. And people were like, where the hell have you been? I'm like, oh yeah, I was like on an island.
Just fell off the face of the earth for a couple months there.
Yeah, it seems crazy to like think like that makes me feel really old, but like, yeah, like 10 years ago when we were at the resort, there was no Wi-Fi. It was like literally a satellite phone. So we were like, no one get injured here because it's just sketchy.
No instant connection there. And I guess that's one thing that people might not realize. Like as far as lodges go, lots of the time they're not selling because things are going so good, right? Like lots of these lodges are that typical story of kind of they're going under, so they sold, or they've been closed for however many years. Someone else came in, was willing to try and pick things back up. And when you've been closed for 6 years, you're losing like a lot of those people. Either they've aged out and they're not doing trips anymore, or they've moved on to other places and found another place that they like, right? So it makes it kind of difficult to get those clients. And you said that there's another, I guess, would it be competitor lodge on the lake? Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and it's funny because like the lake, it's actually not a very big lake. Well, by my terms, I live on Lake of the Woods, so that seems big to me, but it's about 25 miles long. At the widest, it's 3/4 of a mile. So it's pretty long and skinny, but the only resort other than ours is like literally I could throw a rock and hit the island. So you're like right there. Yeah. So everyone is like in the same area. And yeah, we have a smaller resort, only 4 cabins. So we just like, it's very manageable. It's always been, until my dad passed away, it was always me, my dad, my mom. And then we just hired like a summer student. Okay. So it's always been family run and operated, and we have really amazing clients and everyone kind of becomes like family, and it's a really good vibe. I really like being there.
Yeah, so I guess we could touch on the lodge more. Is that like how many boats are you guys running then? Is it some people going out by themselves, or is it always someone being guided?
Yeah, we get a mixture. It's like, I would say like there's a lot of people actually. So to get to our lake is a chain of lakes. So you actually have to go onto Clearwater, cross a mechanical portage. There's some really cool videos on YouTube of it. Like it's like a railroad track that you put your boat on, and then like some guy pulls you over, and then you're on Pipestone. And so you have to pay a $30 fee to like round trip to go over. So it keeps a lot of the local people out. It's very quiet. Like they're, it's getting more popular now, like with social media and advertising and stuff. But for the most part, like if you go out fishing for the day, you hardly ever see a boat, which is like incredible. And then you get to the resort, there's 4 cabins. And then we do like probably 70% American plan, where we're feeding food, renting boats, and then 30% housekeeping. Sometimes people even bring their own boats, like from Chicago, which is a big consumer for us. It's like 12 hours from the door in Chicago to our land, like to our landing. Okay. So lots of guys like to fish out of their own boats, bring their own electronics, that kind of stuff. But we run really nice rental boats. My dad worked at the hardware store in Emo, so they have a Yamaha connection. So we run 17-foot G3s with 60-horse Yamahas, which are really nice to get around in. And yeah, super nice to fish out of. I guided out of one forever. Still like a boat that I really enjoy fishing out of. So it's a great little like setup. And because it's small, it's so easy to manage that we get a mixture of clientele, but all Americans.
Yeah. Like no Canadians.
We had one free trip winner, cause we always do a free trip every year we give away on our website. And one year we had somebody from Manitoba win. And maybe we had like one other Canadian guest, but it's always Americans. Yeah.
I guess that goes to show how spoiled lots of us Canadians are with the fishing, that it's in our backyard, right? So lots of people are just going to do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big thing with it. And yeah, it's just like when you get some American clients and they're catching a 25, 30 inch pike, and that'll be a big pike around them or something like that, right? And then they can come up here and it's like, I can drive 15 minutes from my house and go and catch a 40 inch pike, and it's like, that was pretty good kind of thing. And I guess I'll go back to cabin for a bit.
It's easy to take things for granted. Like even like, it's so weird for me because I grew up on the lake and Doug is so different. His lifestyle is so different from mine that he's so used to, you know, driving his truck with the boat to all these landings and stuff like that. And I like last year I was really like keyed in on the fact that I had to like be grateful for the fact that I just walk out my front door onto a dock, step into my boat, and I'm just gone.
Yeah, that's the nice part.
Like it's like that feeling, I just can't even explain it. It's crazy.
Because that whole having to pack everything up and then put everything back in the boat, launch it, go and do your business for the day, go fishing, whatever, and then you got back to the truck, got to put the boat back on, and then lots of people are driving like an hour home or something like that. It's like you're already cooked from a day. Like I'm sure like I'll have days where I just literally walk off the dock, get back in, and just boom, right into the bed. Just like, oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. If I'm not guiding customers, I'm a big major minor fisherman. Like I follow the Solunar system, and I'm like, especially when I'm fishing for muskies, I'm like, okay, I get 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the afternoon. So I'll like, if I'm not guiding, I'll take off, fish those 2 hours. It's the major. And then I'll come back in, have some lunch, chill out, do whatever. And then I'm like, hey, back out for the major. And I'm like, shit. Like, that's a luxury.
Oh yeah, that's the nicest thing about having a place out right on the water, right? And I guess we're going to kind of talk about the lodge more later, but we may as well just continue it on here now. Like, what all can you expect for species and everything there?
Yeah, so we have lake trout, walleye, muskie, pike, small and largemouth bass on Pipestone. And then, we pretty much have everything. The only thing we don't have is crappies. But if you did portage the other way down Clearwater over to the other lake, which is Jackfish, you could technically fish for crappies if you wanted to. But I'd say probably our biggest clientele come for walleyes and lake trout more so. It's musky fishing is becoming more popular. I think musky fishermen are so unique.
That's the nice way of putting
it. Yeah, very specific about where they go. And maybe because it's such a hard species to catch, if you have to invest so much time into a lake to learn it, to actually like be able to catch them, that people just get so comfortable fishing in these bodies of water and they actually never go anywhere else. Like, we have a group of musky fishermen from Wisconsin. They're so secretive about Pipestone. And it's my job, obviously, to promote it because it's my parents' business. But like, they won't even send us pictures of the fish they catch. And they've been coming there. There's like generations of them for like 50 years. And they just like never talk about it. So it's becoming more popular, definitely. But you can kind of get a little bit of taste of everything. We have some portage lakes that you can go into and catch some really nice smallmouth and largemouth. We have a really cool portage lake for pike, but guys catch big pike. I think the biggest pike that came out of there last year was like 47, and it's more of like a spring, and you obviously know more about pike fishing than I do, but it's more of a spring kind of lake to go to. In the summer they must just go really deep and you just can't catch them anymore. And then in the fall it picks back up again, but just a lot of opportunities to explore. And if you're adventurous like me, you just grab your little motor and you're just on your way.
Exactly. I think that's the most fun part. And I guess it kind of makes sense with those guys, like you said, how much you got to learn a lake and stuff. It'd be different if every boat out there was guided, then I'm sure the musky anglers, the numbers of them would pick up. Right. But if people are bringing their own boats and stuff, then it's kind of changes things where they only get to go up there for 3 to 6 days or a week or something like that, right? And they're like, well, we only have X amount of time to do these things. And so then that's when you can kind of key in on the more quantity of lake trout and walleye and stuff like that, right? And I think that would be something that I mean could be interesting. In the fact that you said with the majors and minors and stuff is focus on those other fish, and then when it does come time for those majors and minors, then maybe go into the musky and stuff. And I'm sure that that's probably something you're doing too when you are actually guiding people, but as someone who's there on their own boat, stuff like that, that could be quite the feat to climb, right? To try and focus on those.
And our lake is definitely you have to be a pretty good fisherman to fish there, if that makes sense. Like, it's I'm not gonna say it's hard. It's more of like it's more of a quality fish over quantity. So, you're not gonna go out and like on our lake specifically, you're not gonna go out and catch 100 walleyes in a day. It's just not gonna happen. There's portage lakes that we can go to and do that, and you catch 100 eaters in a morning and everyone's happy and goes back. But you catch they just actually, the M&R did a survey out of there and they did netting, unfortunately, but it was in a section of the lake and they didn't net a single fish. I think they netted 48 walleyes and not a single one was under 25 inches, which was insane. That's your lake? Yeah.
Wow.
That's our lake. Yeah. So, to go out and catch a 30-inch walleye is it happens and it's common. Like, they're in, it's so funny to see like the schools of those big walleyes swim together and just like how intelligent they are. Well, intelligent when they see my baits, those little pricks. But I'm just like, I got a school of walleyes I've been stalking for like 2 years and they're there every year, but I've only ever caught one. But it's just like you have to, it's one of those lakes you have to put some time into it, or obviously hire a guide and go out and have that success. But we can always, put people on, like lake trout fishing is pretty straightforward. I'm more of like a, I don't even know what you would call it. Like, maybe some people call it sharp shooting, but like, I just like basically stalk them, mm-hmm. drive around, find pods of fish, and then just drop on them. And I pick up and move a lot. Like, I'm not the type of person when I like trout fish that I just sit there and jig all day in one spot. Right. I just can't do it. So, but my customers really enjoy that. Like, I get a lot of musky customers that will fish the majors and minors, and then midday, if it's, you know, 80 degrees, dead flat, calm and sunny, muskies probably aren't biting for the most part. We go like catch a bunch of lake trout and they just have a blast.
No, that's lake trout on some lighter tackle or something like that midday. That'd be, would be pretty fun. Right. And
that's the thing,
right? Like, I think it's always going to be worth it to get a guide at these spots, but it's mm-hmm. also different for you guys too. Mm-hmm. When people are coming in, they're still your guests, right? And it's still, and like, people don't realize that sometimes. I don't know. I'm sure you experience it too, where some guests think that you have, like, all the guides have these secret spots that only they fish. And it's like, no, like, I want you to do the best, right? Cause it's in my best interest for that too. So I don't know. I don't know if you find that too, but it's kind of, even if they're, you're not guiding them specifically, they're still at your lodge, they're still your clients, you're going to help them out to go and catch fish, right? Cause you obviously want them to come back, right?
Yeah. And like, honestly, every time, and it, as like, as I get like old, like, I've never been that type of fisherman that's like so secretive about my spots. And like, there's a couple like locals on the lake that I've become really good friends with, a couple like older guys, and they're so, so secretive about all of their stuff. And I'm just like, as I get older, I'm kind of like, oh, I gotta be quiet about that spot. But everyone that comes to camp, I'm like, they're like, oh, can you mark a spot? And I'm just like highlighting all these spots. And I'm just like, okay, but don't show anyone else this, please.
Well, that is the scary thing when it is something that anyone could come to, right? It's different when, mm-hmm. like for myself, I'm up in the Northwest Territories. If you want to go there, great. You've got like a 12-hour drive ahead of you, which I guess is similar to yours, but it's like, it's pretty remote, right? I don't think that these people that I have are going to be coming back. Like, or sure, share the waypoints. I don't care, right? Like, it's whatever. But when it's something that could be accessible by anyone, for the most, like a bit easier accessible, it's like, that could be a little bit scarier, especially if it gets more and more popular, right?
Yeah. I don't ever like, there's a couple people from Clearwater, which is the lake before Pipestone, that I guide, just have been longtime family friends, or they like that you can fish for everything on Clearwater that you can fish for on Pipestone, except for lake trout. So a lot of them come over and fish lake trout. And the only thing I'm really like, musky fishing is like, it's a hard sport. So I try to keep my spots to my customers that are paying me money for me mm-hmm. to take them out, because I'm like, I don't want to show up at my spot that I told you about when I got two guys that are paying me in the boat. And like, I just like gave you this to go. Like, if I'm not fishing or I'm not guiding, go for it. It's all yours. But like, if I'm guiding people, don't. So, but the people that come from Clearwater, you know, like lake trout, there's tons of spot. You can go mm-hmm. anywhere and catch a lake trout. So, it's definitely different. I feel like it also depends on who you talk to in the industry, how they feel about that. Like Doug, if you talk to him, he's pretty like tight-lipped about where he's fishing. Well,
and his spots are...
So you really got to stalk the YouTube channel to find out where he's fishing.
Exactly. And I mean, he's in a totally different area with that, right? Like, I'm sure there's tons of competition out there. And just from the episodes we've had with him, he'll be talking about some other guy that he knows that's trolling right along beside him or something like that, right? Like it's, I mean, if you're out in the water, you're going to know where he is. You can't ever change that. But especially with the YouTube presence and stuff that he has too, it's like that could turn out to be bad if people started to figure things out right away, right? So I think, and that's the thing too, with you don't, like you're talking about the old timers, and I'm sure other people have seen it that are listening when like you fish with different groups of people. Like we all kind of have a group that we like to fish with, but sometimes you end up going out with someone that you don't fish with as much and it's a whole nother group. You don't really know how they operate. Like the way I kind of think about it for anyone that golfs, it's like you golf with your buddies all the time, but then you go out with like a distant buddy and you don't know what they think of for different golf etiquette or whatever, how they like to play. So it's the same with fishing as far as like, well, how do you like to handle your fish, or how do you like to talk about your spots, or do you care if I put this on socials or whatever, stuff like that, right? It's totally different. And so that's just kind of trying to figure out each group that you're with, kind of how they like to go about things, because you don't want to step on people's toes either. So that can make it difficult.
Yeah. And then throw in a different gender and you're just like, whoa, that's true. Like it gets weird.
Cause there's just things that, especially for guys, there's things that you just wouldn't even think about. Right. and it's just out of not knowing at all. And so it's like, it's that, yeah, I couldn't even imagine how much that would change things for myself. You wouldn't think as much, but then like, I'm sure, I guess we could get into that too. Like as far as being a female guide and stuff like that, especially it probably would help you, I guess, that it's your family's lodge, right? Like that would make things probably, probably nicer for you. But like, what do you find with that as far as just the industry as itself and then being a female guide at a lodge?
Yeah. So I honestly, like I've had obviously like a few situations where it was uncomfortable, but I've always like for the most part, and maybe now, like as I kind of get more established in my career, I feel like I'm really respected by a lot of the men. And like, they're very like polite and everything in the boat. And like, and I'm not going to lie, like I'm quite vulgar. Like I drop the F bomb, like it's nobody's business. And then I think some of them are like, whoa, like all these old guys are just like, holy shit, she just said fuck. And I'm like, ew. But, it's so funny because, so Emily, obviously you guys had her on the podcast before. She actually guides, well, she guided for 4 years on a lake that we portage into. And so I see Emily like quite often, and she's, you know, like got blonde hair and stuff, and we both wear our rain bibs every day when we're fishing. So like, there's been so many times where I've been like fishing on her lake and her customer, like people from her camp, like pull up to me and they're like, hey, like, are you catching any? And then I'm like, and then they're like, oh, you're not Emily. And then they're probably thinking like, what the hell? There's two female guides in like this small. Yeah. Like what? But, for the most part, I think I get a lot of curiosity of people like thinking like, how the heck did you get into this career? And having the resort obviously like helps my credibility. I mean, it's kind of funny because it's like my mom is like basically giving the recommendations, right? And she like has, I mean, I like to think I'm good at my job, but she has to say I'm good at my job because I'm her, also, I'm her employee and her kid. But I think I've heard some real horror stories about female guides in the industry, and maybe that's why there's not a lot of them. But I will say for the most part, I've always felt respected in my career, on social media. I mean, still get some like perverted messages and stuff like that. But I'm sure like I've talked with guys too that get some weird shit. So I think, I don't know. I think that I feel really like honored that for the most part, when I have my customers in the boat, they're like, they think that it's so cool that like I can do this, like that I can like operate a boat. And they're like sometimes I don't like to do it, but if I know the people and they want to fish out of their own boat, I'll just like, you know, they want to mark some spots or whatever, we'll go out one evening and I'll drive their boat like through this narrow spot. And they're just like, holy shit, like you go places we would never go. And I'm just like, yeah, but they're, I think for the most part, they're just mostly stunned that I'm like, I can actually like drive the boat. But then I'm sure there's been a few instances where people have come to camp and been like, oh, you're God. Like I'm for the most part, the only guide there. We have one other guide that runs trips, but I have been there the longest. So I get seniority. So I get all the pick of the trips and mostly run them all. But some people are probably shocked. And then there's some people that are like, oh, we only want you as a guide. And I'm like, is that because I'm good at fishing or like, are you a creep? Yeah, like you're a creeper.
Exactly.
But it's kind of a mix, but like I feel bad for the girls that have had those interactions in the industry, but like I can't personally say that like it's never affected me. I'm just like, fuck it. I'm good at this and I'm gonna do it. So no,
that's fair. And I think with like what people listening kind of have to understand too, like I think our, based on our analytics, our average age is like that 23 to 44. Lots of these people are 60 plus, 65. I've had guests in, into their 80s, right? Like it's, you're dealing with a totally different generation for lots of these trips. So lots of people listening are probably like, I've never be any reason for things to be weird or this or that or any issues, right? But it's like, you don't realize that this is like a, could be a whole different generation that you're dealing with when things are different and they see things different. Not that it's right, but that just explains how some of these things can happen, right? And that's, I think that's one thing that people should consider, because that's just kind of, these people are now, like I said, into their 70s, 80s. It's how it's always been with them. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm sure they had lots of these guys probably never seen that before, right? Until they've come up there.
No, women are supposed to be in the kitchen for
the
them.
Kitchen staff, hey? Yeah.
Is she our lunch lady or is she actually coming fishing with
exactly.
us?
Exactly. And I think most guests are like awesome, right? No matter mm-hmm. what. And I mean, I can just think of a handful of conversations where I've actually been like in the boat and I'm like, if I was a girl, this would be a really weird conversation that we're having right now. But it's like, it's kind of like it's just something that they're talking about and you just got to go with the flow because you're just kind of someone to talk to for the day lots of the time, right? And so it's like, this could be weird.
Yeah, I think you just have to be, you have to be so straightforward. I've learned like in the last 5 years that I've like been guiding this much is like, and then I get comfortable, right? So this year, this is a story I had. I had these two great guys, young guys, probably in their like late 30s. It's like so fun to fish with. Like the energy was really good. My cat's knocking down all my fishing rods. And these guys were just like so, like it was fun. Like the whole day I was like, holy shit, this is like a fun time. And then I was like, so like obviously we're all human beings. We have to go mm-hmm. to the bathroom. So like most of the time, like I'm always I always just get off the boat. Even like if I'm with Doug, I don't, but I'm just going to pull up or whatever to shore. But sometimes I don't even have to go to the bathroom. So I just hold it all day and I'm just like, it's not a big deal. So whatever, we fish like an 8 hour day and I didn't have to go to the bathroom. So I didn't go to shore or whatever. And I'm thinking like at the end of the day, I'm like, man, like these guys didn't go to the bathroom all day. Like that's pretty crazy. Like they're drinking beers. They're having a good time. They're drinking water or whatever. And then like the next day I was like, okay, like, just let me know, like, if you guys, like want to go to the back, because I fish, obviously, got out of the back. You want to go to the back, take a pee, you want to go to shore, like, whatever you're comfortable with. And this guy is like, man, I had to piss so bad yesterday, but I didn't want to be disrespectful. And I'm like, man, I don't want you to, like, get, like, a bladder infection or something. Like, take a pee. Like, I'm normal. And he's like, oh, I didn't want to be disrespectful. And I was like, that's very thoughtful, but I'm, like, not that soft. So you're good.
So now that's added to your pre-trip list of things to say.
So there's, like, a checklist I got to go through before everyone gets in the boat. Okay, if you have to go to the bathroom, you prefer shore, we go to a dock. And a lot of the customers, like you said, are older, right? So, like, those old boys, they don't got balance. And so I usually go to shore, but it was just like, I was like, oh, I never would have like anticipated this would have been an issue with like a guy that was younger. Cause like, I mean, I fish with Doug and my buddies all the time and they just like pee off the boat and I pee off the boat. And then I'm like, oh, you're like very respectful and nice. Like,
yeah. What? No, that's the funny thing is like for us, we're on lots of big water. When you're out doing Lakers and stuff and they're older, probably smaller bladders, whatever, stuff like that too. And they're just crushing Diet Cokes all day or whatever. And it's like, what do you call them? They're bale buckets. will be the pee jug too. Yeah. And it's like, thanks for handing this back to me now. But that's always the funny part that's just like weird things. Like you wouldn't think about, oh, I'm going to be a fishing guide. And you don't really think that just doesn't cross your mind that you'd be dealing with that either. Yeah. But it's always a funny conversation. And I actually, my first ever clients was a guy and a girl, two friends that came up and she was a trooper. Like I'd ask her, like, do you want me to go to shore? This or that? Which 6 day trip didn't ever get off once. And it's not that she wouldn't, like she was tough as they come. She wouldn't care if she had to, but just she'd have some waters and she was fine all day. And I'm like, that's a trooper. Like I could not do that. Like, and I, when you're talking about the guy that you had there, I was thinking it would have been hilarious if there was like kind of little like one footers that you just were kind of rolling across on top of and just bumping the whole way back.
Oh yeah, just such so much pain.
He's thinking,
I'm like, dude, you could have just told me you had to pee. Like, that was just so funny. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't think about that all day. He's like, well, you didn't go to the bathroom. And I was like, yeah, well, I'm not like drinking beer and like drinking water. I was like, I'm a vet here. Like I know what to do.
Exactly. And he's probably thinking, man, this is going to be a long couple of days if I can't do this.
I'm like, okay. So then it got like, obviously I fished with them for 3 days. So like, and like we were fishing the first day, we only fished 8 hours and then it was like 10 hours, 12 hours. So yeah, luckily he got comfortable but it's funny It's just funny, the experiences you have with people, the conversations you get into. I feel like I get into the like most like bizarre, like out of this world conversations. And then people will be like, oh, what'd you do before you were a guide? And I'm like, oh, I have a master's in psychology. And they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, yeah, you're pretty fucked up, but yeah, it's okay.
I recognize your issues here. And we're just going to talk for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. The life coaching package is an additional charge, but it's worth it for you.
That's an add on there. That makes sense. Yeah, you get into, well, you're like, especially if it's like a solo or something, I've had some of those, and it's like you're out in a boat, in my case, for 6 days in a row. It's just you two. Sometimes, like the one guy, he's chill. He's like, oh, I've caught a lot of fish today. And we just, like, the one shore lunch was like, talked for like an hour and a half after everything was, all the cooking, all the food was done. We're done eating. And yeah, just we're on an island talking for an hour and a half. I'm like, I can do this too. Yeah. Like it's whatever, but.
You are, man. Like that's like being a guide. I don't think people understand, like you are an entertainer. Like when fish are not cooperating, and this is the one thing that I find so hard as a guide is like, I am confident. I'm a very confident person. I know I'm good at what I do. I know where the fish are in my lake, but they're not always going to cooperate with me. And like, it's going to be frustrating. And so there's been some days where I'm just like, good thing I like to talk and stuff like that. But like after a day of like having a really hard bite, or like the weather changes, the freaking cold front rolls through. And then I'm just like, I cannot talk to one more single person tonight. I'm like, I'm going straight to my room because I've just entertained and talked to these guys for 10 hours.
Social battery's low.
Like, oh my God. And then when you're at a camp and like, I also like do 80, 90% of the cooking. So like I cook, then guide, then come home and cook. And then people like, you know, like they're friends of mine at camp now. And so they're like, let's go fishing, like night fishing. And I'm like too nice to say no, but I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put my earbuds in and like no one talk to me. But it's like being a guide, I think a lot of people think it's like so glamorous and like, I mean, it's a great job, but it's hard work. Like it's exhausting being outside, entertaining, trying to figure out what fish are doing. And like when things change, and it's just like, and like, I mean, it's probably a different clientele where you're at too. But like you definitely like, we don't get it as much, but like, you know, some people expect that full guide service where it's like when we're walleye fishing, like I'm talking, they're like slapping walleyes off my chest to take them off their line. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to go home.
Yeah, it's kind of similar. Like when you get into those like 100 and some pike days and it's like, I'm really enjoying these like number two Len Thompsons that are just being demolished and I'm getting these trebles out on little 20 inch fish. I'm like, this is great. My fingers are loving this, but like, it's so funny. You'll like be done. Like if you've got two people in the boat, you'll be done over one side of the boat. You kind of stand up. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. You stand up for a sec. You look over, the other guy's just standing there with his rod like this and a fish. You're like, okay, here's another one.
Never mind, I don't need a break.
No, it's fine. I'll just eventually back out of this bay so we get a bit of a a bit of a break.
It's exhausting. It's a hard job. So I guess
for yourself, what would you rather have? A hard day where the fish aren't cooperating but the clients understand, or a day where you think you've crushed it and then the clients are like, oh, hopefully tomorrow's better? Like, have you ever had that?
Yeah, honestly, like I can remember this one guest and it was just like, some people, you can do everything. And like, I will kill myself. And so will Doug. That's one thing I will say about Doug is like, he works so hard to make sure that all of his customers have like the best experience. And like, maybe that doesn't mean entertaining, but fishing wise, like he will literally like run himself to empty to catch somebody one fish, if that's what it takes. But I had this one customer that, we went out and we like absolutely crushed smallmouth. Like we were catching tons of smallmouth, but like they were all like whatever, like 12, 13 inches and whatever. Like some people are like, that's amazing. We just caught 200 smallies in one day or whatever. But he was like, oh, you know, just be nice to catch some big fish. And I was like, okay. So he didn't like that. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go to this other spot, this section of the lake that like, we're not going to catch as many, but we're going to catch some big ones. And I freaking, bass were on their bed, so like couldn't be any easier. Yeah. This guy can't hit the bed to save his life. I give him like the heaviest jig that it's gonna fall right on the bed. it's like freaking lightning storm raining, and I'm like, I'm fucking catching this this bass that's on the bed because I know it's big, like I can see it. And so I'm flipping the boat around, I'm spinning him around to get him on this fish. It probably takes like 15 minutes. I'm like, literally, we're like borderline getting poured on with thunderstorms. We catch it. It's like a 21 and a half inch smallmouth. And I'm like, yeah, this is fucking big for our lake. And like, this is a nice smallmouth. And I'm so pumped. And I'm like, he's going to be so pumped. We get in the boat and I'm like, that's a nice
smallie.
I go, yeah, I'm like, you want a picture? And he's like, no. And I'm like,
we're going home.
Oh my God. But oh my God. So then we had to go, then their trip, like, it ended up, we ended up getting stormed out. So we had to go take shelter at a cabin and stuff. And so I was like, I just, sometimes you just can't make people happy. And for me, it's really about the customer. I don't even know, like, I still get, even if I have really good people, like I have this really good couple that comes, they're in like their 70s. They're like the most amazing, like, farmers, like she's like a badass chick, and like they just, they have really good energy, and we catch a lot of fish, but sometimes they'll, like, you know, we'll have lulls or something, or one year it came and the weather was just shit, and like they were, it hurts me more than I think it hurts my customers that I can't put them on fish, or like can't make it a better experience even though they're having a good time. But I think I would, that's honestly, that's hard to say, because like it really eats me up when I, like, I will sit and like linger in the fact that I feel like a failure, but I do also like hate when people are dicks in the boat. Like if you just can't enjoy, like if you, if this, like say we go out and smash like smallies or go to a portage, like crush walleyes, and that's not enough for them, don't honestly come back, because like, I just, I don't like want to have those people around anyway. Yeah. So I'm going to go with a hard day of fishing, but good customers, because you can always like find some sort of good story and in good people.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
That's the toughest thing, when you think that you've done good too. And then it's like, oh, okay. Like this is a pretty stellar day, as someone who does it a lot. Like this is pretty good. This is better than average, or way better than average. And you're like, okay, this person just is really spoiled with the fishing they do, or their expectations are just so far in left field that it just makes no sense at all. So you're like, there's no making them happy. And then it's like, okay, we got a couple more days with them and then we'll move on to the next ones, kind of thing. Right. And then you'll try and find some things, or what I've done is kind of, okay, well, what do you want to do? Or if they've been there before, well, where do you want to go? And then it could be bad because then it could go really well, which isn't terrible, but then it's like, okay, this was,
and they take all the credit.
Take all the credit, but then it's like, or it could go bad, and then you're like, okay, well, let's try this, and then it goes good for your idea, and then it's kind of makes them understand, right? So I'd have to agree with you on that, that it's nice to have just the customers that understand, and they're gonna just enjoy the shit out of an awesome day, right? And just like to the moon with it. And they also understand when things are slower, because that's fishing, right? Rather than someone who's kind of stuck up with it all. So
that's someone that actually enjoys fishing, I believe. Like there's like, they, I mean, the old saying, you know, fishing and catching, but like to me, and like, especially like the muskie industry and fishing for muskies is so specific. It's like, you're literally chasing one bite. Like that's it. Some days is like, and you have to really, and I think like you have to really love it. And sometimes we get people that, like come to the resort and they're just like bass fishermen, and then they see a muskie follow their bass, and it's springtime, so like it's opening weekend or the week after, so muskies are active, and then they're like, oh my God, I want to book a muskie trip. And I'm like, okay, cool, just so you know, like you've never done this before, it's gonna be hard, like we're gonna have to learn how to do it. And then they go out there and they're like, well, this is like sucks. And I'm like, you're throwing baits you've never thrown before, like the rods are all different than your bass stuff. And yeah, like if I get a customer that comes to the dock and I've never met them before and they go, how many do you think we're going to catch today when we're going muskie fishing? I'm like, good God, let me see one, please.
No, exactly. And that's, I don't, but, it's, I guess like with muskie, it's like you said, you're fishing for one bite, not even necessarily one hookup or one landing of a fish, right? Like that can be the game. And I think that part of it with like a walleye or a smallie or even a laker kind of person, they're used to the con, like it's almost like people nowadays, it's a constant adrenaline or whatever of every couple minutes or whatever it is, you're at least something's happening, right? For the most part. So
yeah.
I think that's, it's for the people who really understand the muskie or are really adventurous and understand that it's more of a journey than just going out there and it's going to happen the first spot or something like that. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. I have like, I'm lucky enough now that like I've fished the lake for, well, I've been fishing there since I was a kid, but like I've fished it consistently for 10 years that I have like, I have one spot that I literally call the petting zoo and I'm like, okay, and to be honest, it is like, it's a spot that I know can get overpressured. So I don't go there unless I absolutely have to. I'll go to all my other spots. But if I haven't seen a fish all, like all morning or something and it's a bad morning, which is very rare now at my, the point in like where I'm at in my career, but like, I'm like, fuck it, off to the petting zoo we go. You want to see a muskie? I'll show you a muskie. And like until I've been fishing there for 8 years and until like last year, I had never caught a muskie there. Like I could go there and see a muskie every time. And then all I was like, these muskies don't eat. That's why I called it the petting zoo. And then all of a sudden, like last year, they just freaking started going bonkers. So I was like, I have a couple spots that like I really lean on when I just like need to see some action. And like, obviously I play in the factor, like good timing, good weather condition, where the wind's blowing, where I'm going to go. And I just hope the stars align.
Yeah. Well, that's what talking with Mac on a couple episodes, Mac Mulligan from Baker's Narrows there, he's a lot of it's managing expectations, right? Not overselling, not underperforming, stuff like that. Like it's letting people know like what's realistic here, right? And understand. Like I've started to get more and more messages about Lac La Mart on my socials now just because of the podcast and from posting about it. And it's like, you're seeing the highlights, right, of lots of the stuff. And it is a, an amazing fishery. There's no doubt about that. But, like, you got to understand that there is slower times. Like, I mean, for us, it can be, like, a slower time as maybe only, like, 3 40-inch pike in a day or something like that, which other places...
Which is still amazing.
But people get up there, and it's, like, by day, like, 4 or 5, it's, like we had some guys and some of the best guests I've ever had. And day one, they're taking pictures with 30-inch pike and... nothing wrong with that. They had hardly ever fished pike and everything, and it's big for them. And then even for those guys, by day 5 or whatever, it's like oh yeah, that's a 40, and like still got a picture with it. They're still elated with it, but it's like it totally just in that many days it can change, right? So you can have some days where it's like 3. I've had some buddies where they get over 20 in a day, and it's like you just never know what's going to happen, right? So it is what it is.
That's that's fishing. That's a really good point, though. I always like said that too. Like one of the things I say to my customers when they get in the boat is like, I just say, you know, leave all your expectations that you have at the dock and we're going to have a great day, because like, I love to fish. I can guarantee that you're going to leave today, knowing and learning something that you didn't know before, whether it's about life or fishing or whatever it is. And like the way that I think, like when you have a lot of older guests too, like technology is so amazing. Yeah. And like, because we're a generation that understand it. And like I always say, so my dad passed away in 2021 and like, it was like before LiveScope or like Mega Live or any of that kind of like forward facing sonar. And I'm like, man, like which is so crazy because it wasn't that long ago, but I'm like, I just wish that I could show him this technology because it blows my mind. But when I get older customers in the boat, like, I get to show them like effective ways to use their electronics to actually like catch fish. And it's so surprising how many people have not even forward facing sonar, but like, you know, like a Helix unit that don't even don't know how to use it.
Oh, for sure.
They're like, oh, I never knew how to turn on the side imaging or like change my contrast or like, how do you even tell? Like I had this one customer, he's like, how do you even tell what a school of walleyes looks like on a side imaging unit? And I was like, let's go in the boat. Cause like, if you just bought this unit that has side imaging and you don't know how to use
just
it,
just a waste
like,
of money there.
You don't pay thousands of dollars not to use this thing. Exactly. So that's the cool part is like, and for the most part, I feel like most of my clients are just willing to like do that, learn and have a good day and whatever comes of it. Usually I find like, sometimes I find like when my customers are really great, the day is harder, but it's like, maybe that's just a way of the universe being like, we're going to throw you a pity pass here because you're having a tough time.
Exactly. Yeah, but, that's totally fair. And I guess you've mentioned Doug a little bit. Obviously, we've had him on. We kind of talked about you guys both guiding. What's kind of the differences between like what your typical day would look like totally different fisheries than what his typical day would look like as far as just the fishing, the guiding, like everything like that?
Yeah, so like our days look completely different for the most part, especially when he's in Green Bay. Like fishing Green Bay, if no one's ever fished there, like I is like literally a mosh pit of death to me. Like I just, like it's so depressing because it's just like a pool of water that everyone's fishing in the same spot on all these flats. And there's like, you know, it's just like a lot of pressure. And he is fishing freaking literally sunrise to sunset, dark to dark. And his clientele is like different than mine. He's got a very like specific clientele at this point that he fishes with all the time. And our styles of guiding are very different. Obviously, I will not say that I'm a more talented angler than him. Maybe there's some aspects that I'm better at. Open water trout fishing, for sure, I'm better at. But when it comes to musky fishing, Doug is very intelligent, very specific, very strategic about how his day goes. And if anyone watches my social media or knows me in real life, I'm just like a go with the flow kind of gal. Like I start my morning, like I think about in the morning, you know, okay, the wind's going this way, I'll probably go here. But like Doug is like analyzing the night before, like, okay, this is the wind, I'm going here, I'm going here, I'm going here. And I'm just like, I'm kind of just going to wing it today. I think, you know, might go up the arm, looks like a good time to go up the arm. And for me, is my lake so much smaller than any lake that he like fishes, like Lake of the Woods where we live and he guides out of the States. And then Green Bay is like, well, Lake of the Woods specifically is like, he goes to one area. Whereas like I can go all the way up the Northwest arm on my lake, which takes me about, it's 7 miles, takes me about 15, 20 minutes in the skiff, like in the 60 to get there. And I go up there and I fish for like an hour and I have no problem burning gas because it's on my mom's dime at the camp. So I'm like all the way to the other end of the lake because the fish aren't biting over here. So I would definitely say like Doug's typical day is well thought out, well planned. He's very intense. If anyone's fished with him or like seen his social media, his YouTube channel, he's very intense. He's very serious. And I'm more of like there to like make it an overall enjoyable experience. I actually, until 2 years ago, like before COVID, I actually never fished when I guided. For the most part, I would actually just, it was so bizarre to me because Doug always fishes that I thought I didn't want to like, it's weird because I didn't want to take that experience away from my customers. Like say musky fishing, you know, like you said, you get one shot, but I found over the time that it's better to have more lines in the water. It's more opportunities. For the most part, I'm trying to throw a bait that's just going to move fish that I can come back on later in the day, give my customer a bait that's probably going to be more successful in actually like sealing the deal. And now, like sometimes I won't walleye fish unless it's really tough and I want to like be like, hey, I'm not stupid. Yeah. Here's walleye here. Like I got to catch one. But for the most part, I'd say like my job as a guide is more of like an overall experience. And Doug is like, just he is there to catch fish. Like that is the most important thing. And that works for his customers. And like, I don't think it would work for my, like the clientele that I have for the most part, like the guide camp life is so different. And it's like you go home at night and you spend all of your time with those people, where Doug goes away to his house and his customers
to
go
Wendy's
home. Like
first.
It's a one day, one and done. And I'm like, I gotta see these guys tomorrow and probably gonna see them in the lodge when I'm trying to watch TV because there's only one TV. So like it's a totally it's a totally different style.
Yeah, well, based on Doug's last episode, I think he goes to Wendy's first and then he goes home. Was that his pit stop? Yeah.
Yeah. Wendy's or Taco Bell. He's a big fast food guy. He's really on the frozen pizzas. Oh, yeah. So he's
well, they just had a sale on Delicios or something because they're going out of business, or one of those companies. Yeah, they're going out of business. So all the grocery stores are just blowing out their pizzas for like half off. So
oh shit. Hopefully Doug doesn't listen to this podcast. He's gonna have, we don't have any room for pizzas. He actually eats normal food when he's here, but we, for the most part, spend, well, we probably only spend three months together out of the year, which is crazy. But when I used to live there, obviously I'd be, you know, more traditional wife cook meals, but he's flying solo. He's a bachelor.
Down there guiding. And I guess that's what we kind of talked about before we started recording, the difference between a lodge guide and an independent guide. And you kind of nailed it on the head there. Like, you're kind of like, obviously Doug's giving an experience too, but your experience that you're providing your clients is a whole lot different, because you're, like you said, you're with them all the time and they're coming up there, like they're actually up there with you, right? Whereas when Doug's in those more populated areas, it's just about putting people on fish for the most part, right? And that's the main purpose of the lodge life too, as a guide, right? But there's a lot more that goes into it with the other things too. So I think it's kind of like, I know Doug's days are just crazy from talking to him, just like for preparation and stuff like that. And like he talks about, like, something goes wrong with the trailer or something, like that's got to be fixed for tomorrow. Whereas I could probably hop in a different boat or something like that. Right. Like it's just different things, and each has their own challenges. Like, I'm sure he's not upset that he doesn't have to go home with his clients. Right. Like that's one thing. Yeah. Not that that's a bad thing for the lodge life either, but it's nice to get that separation sometimes too. Or just, I'm sure would he see more people in a year than you would? No,
No. No, because, and for the most part, his clientele is like quite repeat at this point. And so, I mean, he runs whatever, over 200 days a year, but I'm trying to think of like a realistic, you know, 15 people per week at the lodge. Yeah. Like, I see so many people because I'm not just a guide at the lodge. Like I said, I had to cook for the most part too. And it's obviously just me and my mom now. My mom owns it. So like, it is my job as like an employee, but also as a family member, to make sure that this business is successful. So like, the moment I open my eyes till I'm in my bed and my mom's texting me, barbecue on cabin one doesn't work. And I'm like, God. So like, my day is so different because I'm like more of a, like, I guide, unless it's musky fishing, I guide 8 to 4. If it's musky fishing, sometimes I'll guide before breakfast. Like, I go on the major schedule. Sometimes I'll like see if somebody can rearrange it so my mom knows she's cooking dinner tonight and I can fish like an extended time or something. But like, our days are just so different. Like, we probably work the same amount of hours. He's just in his boat 16 hours a day, and I'm just like doing something camp related for 16 hours
a day. And that's something too that we mentioned before that people probably wouldn't think about. I'm sure it's different with each lodge. I know where I am, I'm really lucky as far as how the guides and everything are treated. But like, I enjoy going up. Like, I'm there half the time I'm there, or maybe a third of the time I'm there, there's not even clients yet. It's just getting the help getting the camp set up. And so like this year there's lots of reno. Yep. So I was like helping put in lights and stuff like that. And I've never done that before, but it's all these things that you wouldn't think about as part of it. But when you're on an island in some remote area, you can't just call someone and have them there in an hour, right? So there's lots of northern fixes, we'll call them, for things. That's what I call them. It's the north, right? It works good enough and kind of keep it going. So that's another thing too.
Well, you have to know so much when you work at a resort. Like, and like when my dad passed away, like my dad did all that. He was like all of the maintenance and stuff. And then, you know, like as a kid, I think most people probably have or if they're lucky enough, they have a very similar story where like your dad, you know, you follow your dad around, he teaches you how to do everything. And then like, it comes to that moment and I'm like, shit, what did he say about the generator? And I'm like, you never register it. Cause you're like, that's your job. I'm not gonna have to do it. So the year after COVID, when we opened up, I really got pushed outside my comfort zone where I had to like learn to do the like maintenance on motors, like basic maintenance. But I was just like, holy shit. Like I had to tear apart my like oil line because my oil wasn't filling up in my reservoir tank. And like, you know, like the generator goes out, and then we're like, I'm like, you know, we have no internet, so I can't Google what to do. So I'm like going through my like, okay. And like, it's just, we always say there's a guy that works at our camp now, Jason. He's awesome. He does most of the maintenance, and he's really good at continue to like teach me how to do things. But he's like, man, like it's always something at a camp. It's like, okay, everything's going smooth. Oh, generator yeah. blew up. No one has power. Oh, boat's sinking. One's broken down. And so like you just, when you work at a camp, we always say like when we hire the, cause we hire a summer student to help as a housekeeper and kitchen prep. But then when we get on the phone, we're like, okay, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself because like you have to cut the grass and you want to do a lawnmower, whippersnip and like paint and do all this stuff. And for the most part, like some of the city kids are like, I don't know how to do run a lawnmower. And I'm like,
yeah, what? Exactly.
Like you got to. So it's a good job to learn a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Get some confidence.
Or at least be willing to learn, right? Just be totally open-minded to do it. And that's the thing. Like, oh, so-and-so forgot to unplug the microwave before they turned on the deep fryer. So now the generator's gone and stuff like that, right? Like, that's totally different. Well, there you have it. Part one with Jesse Baker in the books. I hope you guys enjoyed that just as much as I enjoyed recording it. It was too much fun sitting down with Jesse for the whole hour and 50 minutes that we did. Lots of good stories. The way she's able to tell them too, like she says in the pod, she's not afraid to hold back when she's telling stories. So that definitely makes things a lot more interesting. But part two, just as interesting. We get into some lake trout talk and some other stories and stuff like that. So you're going to want to check that out in a couple of weeks. But you're also going to want to check out that episode because I think we'll have a couple big announcements coming up here. And if it's not next episode, it'll probably be the one after that. But I'm guessing we'll have some in time for that episode. So you're definitely going to want to tune in. But as always, check out 13 Fishing, our presenting sponsor. Head over to the website, enter your code WeekendWarriors, save yourself 15% off on any of the purchases on that website, whether it's StrikeMaster, 13, Rapala, VMC, all those brands, all great for ice fishing season here. So if you are hitting the ice this weekend, good luck out there. The bite's been pretty good for the people I've seen that have got on the ice. So be safe out there, hooking in some fish, and have a good time. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to the Weekend Warriors Fishing Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your favorite listening platform so we can reach more anglers just like you. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for media updates and behind-the-scenes content.